you can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by PRMI, PugetSound.com. Primary residential mortgage. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in the classroom?
We start in the Tahoma School District this hour of the Jason Rand Show, where administrators are investigating a, would you call this a brawl, a high school brawl?
I hope it's a brawl.
It's kind of a lot of kids there.
Six of them?
Well, there were six kids in total who fought. But then, as happens, and I'm glad this still happens at schools, lots of people crowd around them and do nothing.
Yeah,
they don't break anything up. They just watch kids fight.
Six is just short of a melee, so I'm going to say it's a brawl, yes.
Yeah, so a melee has more than six.
I think it's got to be double digits. You got to have at least 10 for a melee.
Okay, for a melee?
I think so.
Okay, fair enough. So administrators say they're now investigating this fight because supposedly some racial slurs were used during it. There is no evidence that I've seen so far presented suggesting that any of the racial slurs were used by any of the people part of the fight. This idea that a racial slur, I'm told that there was one that was used, but we don't know who the racial slur was against. And there's an important aspect to that to understand first. But still, despite the fact that they are now doing an investigation, and it stems from, of the six kids, four of them were white, two of them weren't. They don't say whether they were black, Latino, or Asian. I'm going to guess black based on the way that some of the reporting is on the racial slur side of things. They say five of the students were suspended. So five who were actually involved in the fighting were suspended. One student who tried to break up the fight ended up getting sent home with an injury, and that was his punishment. They're not actually suspending him.
That's not enough. Suspend that kid, too.
And, well, what's the punishment? Did you dislocate a shoulder, or did you break a nail? I mean, you know?
Don't break up fights. That's the first rule.
I think he was involved in the fight and, like, in the group of people directly who were beefing. That's what kids say, right?
He should get, they had some beef. They were stirring the pot a little bit.
So here's the statement that was put out. And I'm doing this in this order intentionally. This is a statement that came out from the Tahoma School District. Like so many communities in our country, there is evidence of racism and inequities in our district and community, which we have heard from many of our students, and we are actively addressing. What the hell does that have to do with anything that happened here? They don't address in this long statement even the fight, at least as was printed by Cairo 7 TV. Yeah. They provided none of that. It's all about, there is such a thing as racism, and we are addressing it through a social equity lens.
The bummer is when I was in high school, which was only 7 years ago, every fight would get posted on Twitter, and all you would have to do is like search Twitter for Auburn fight, Auburn high fight. I searched
it's probably
for,
on TikTok now.
I searched for like 35 minutes on Twitter today trying to find this Tahoma fight.
Did you look
fight.
TikTok?
I didn't check TikTok because I don't TikTok.
There is video from surveillance, I guess, of this fight. I mean, I can't tell.
That never makes its way to Twitter, though. I want the cell phone footage that's front row.
On the ground.
The expensive seats. I want that video.
Because then you'll be able to hear whether or not a slur was used. Now, one of the kids who was actually a part of the fight talked to our sister station, Akai Radio, on the Dory Monson show, and it was all like, we didn't use any slur.
No one in my party used the N-word. The only N-word that was used was by someone that was in the crowd.
Now, I say that it's to understand who it was targeting, because let's be clear. Obviously, you can use the N-word to target a black person. You can also use the N-word to target a white person when we're talking about young kids getting involved in a fight. We've heard that all the time. We've heard that used all the time. Get that. And then they say, I'm not going to say it. Don't give me that look.
Yeah, don't say it. That would be really bad.
Well, we've definitely heard that before because of the way that it's sometimes used as a slang term, which is still intended to be an insult, obviously. But that's the part that kind of throws me here, in that this kid, and I have no clue if he's telling the truth. For all I know, he's a grand wizard of some kind for the local KKK. I sincerely doubt that, but I don't know this guy. I haven't vetted him. He's saying that's not what happened. We had nothing to do with it. We definitely weren't saying it. Someone maybe in the crowd, it sounds like he said one time, and I don't know if maybe it was more than one time. Some of the reporting says slurs rather than slur. So I don't know if this is as cut and dry as people want to think. But let's just, for the sake of argument, say no one in the actual crowd of fighters used the slur. That's clearly then not a fight that was inspired by racism.
Racially motivated, yeah.
Right? I mean, was a racial slur used? He's saying yes. Okay. Is it right or wrong? Wrong. What are you to do as it relates to the fight? Nothing. It's a bunch of kids who got into a fight. And the way, again, I don't know if he's telling the truth, but he's the only person who's speaking that I've seen so far. He's saying, we didn't even start this fight.
It wasn't really a racial issue at all. It was more or less, I was at lunch and saw one of my friends getting picked on. And I walked over there and said, you know, that's not cool. And the kid wanted to get...
Do you think he said, that's not cool?
Hey, man, that's not cool to do.
That's not cool. This is how you really pick on a kid. This is the cool way to do it.
In my face over it and was pushing me around and stuff. And eventually got to the point where I felt the need to defend myself. And he was getting in my face, telling me to drop my bag and all this sorts of stuff. And so he pushed me one more time and I dropped my backpack. And then eventually after that, it just all broke loose.
Now, do you think we ever get any media coverage of how this all ends?
No.
Because it honestly sounds like this was just your typical fight with kids feeling disrespected. And again, taking him at his word, I have no idea if this actually happened, but assuming he's telling the truth, it doesn't even sound like they were targeted for being white. Like, there was just, you were being rude and picking on a friend of his. He stood up for his friend. They got into a fight. Presumably, the person who picked the fight had a friend with him. That's the second person involved. And then this kid who was helping his friend, then two others got involved who knew them. And that's it. That's what happened. It sucks that it happens. It's awful. This is not news.
No, and it won't be news on Monday either. Not even in the school. The students have short memories. They're going to forget about this by Monday.
Do you concede, especially young people, and especially people who get in fights, regardless of race, they throw around slurs pretty frequently.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
It's incredible. And it's
actually shocking in a way because, you know, I am of an age that recognizes that you're not supposed to do that. And yet there is a group of people younger than me who use this just as everyday slang. And it's not necessarily used in a slur in the traditional sense.
No, in high school, slurs are just common language, it seems like.
It's wrong, but that also kind of changes the idea as to whether or not this was a racially motivated fight. And that's all I'm saying. There is no evidence to suggest that this was racially motivated. None. Even with the idea that a slur was uttered, what was the context of the slur? I'm assuming that I'm assuming that they're black, the two students of color based on the N-word being used. But I've also seen some of those videos of fights, and it's not just black people using or getting victimized by that word. Again, white kids use it. Latinos use it. Haven't seen any Asian kids use it. But I'm assuming that's true as well. Assuming that's the case, if the black kid said something to the white kid, like, hey, white boy or cracker or something like that, I also don't think that that's necessarily a racially motivated fight. It's the language of young people. It's wrong. I wish people would teach these kids not to talk like this because it's very confusing to some adults, especially in the media who cover stories like this. But it just feels like this is just a fight.
Yeah, people who don't understand this need to kind of just play like Call of Duty for maybe like an hour with a bunch of teenagers. And
not even teenagers. Some 7-year-old will probably get on the Xbox Live and start talking smack to you.
Yeah, and you will hear every single slur in the book because kids think, you know, they're
don't
invincible.
Think that it's, well, they don't think it's wrong. They don't know the history of the word in a traditional sense that older people might. And so they just throw it out there. It's just bizarre to me that I don't quite understand how slurs end up getting used in the vernacular the way that young people use them because they're learning it from somewhere. I don't get that. And again, all races do it. It's super weird. And I don't understand. I honestly don't understand that. And it wasn't, I don't remember that being the case when I was younger. that kids were just throwing around slurs. You do, because you're younger than me.
Yeah, 100%. But every single slur was used in my high school.
I don't remember slurs getting used almost ever. Or when they were, it actually was used with the intent of trying to hurt the other person.
Didn't you also go to a private school?
I went to public first.
Oh, you went
to public
school?
I went to private school. Then I was a privileged Jew. That's how they view me. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
Well, the FAA tried to stop Fox News and others from videotaping some of what's been going on at the border between Texas and Mexico. But of course, after Fox News and Tucker Carlson called it out so spectacularly yesterday, the clearance has been given once again. So what exactly are they hiding? A crisis that not too many people outside of Fox News are talking about. Joining me on the line is Tom Homan, who's the acting director of ICE under the Trump administration. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So what are we seeing at the border at this point?
Look, you're seeing an unprecedented crisis, right? The numbers are unprecedented. And the administration wants to brag. You know, last month was 212. This month is,
208.
209.
Yeah.
There's 208.8 or something like that. They're saying, all right, well there's 3,000 less, but which is a lie. Look, it's factual to say there's less encounters by 3,000 or so, but it's missing the main message that the border crisis, the crossings are still up and continue to climb. The reason why there's less encounters by a few thousand is because there's less Border Patrol agents on the line.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening, like for example, what's happening right now, right? They got almost 10,000 people on the bridge. I know for a fact, I talked to Border Patrol Command today. I'll keep his name private so he don't get in trouble. But he said they're pulling agents off the line right now. They shut down the checkpoints. They're bringing agents from checkpoints. They're bringing agents off the line. Now, when you do that, and they've been doing this now for a couple months, the more agents you pull off the line, the less encounters you're going to have. And less encounters means more gotaways. So we already are at almost 350,000 gotaways. So don't take 3,000 less encounters as it's getting better or it's under control. The command of Border Patrol said, this is his words today. He goes, Tom, we are a broken arrow. He goes, we have lost operational control down here. We no longer have control. He goes, we are overwhelmed. He goes, we're going to have 10,000 people under the bridge. They're moving back and forth to Mexico to get food and water. Like it's an open port of entry. He goes, we have lost control.
You obviously know about the just sort of the operational situations at the border, just more generally. It feels like something like this happening is intentional. Is it?
Well, I've said that from day one. This isn't mismanagement. This isn't incompetence. Joe Biden made promises during a campaign, like, abolishing ICE, stopping ICE detention, having a moratorium on deportations, ending Remain in Mexico, asylum, giving asylum, having DACA, and free health care. He knew when he was saying that he was causing a border surge because he was around 14, 15 when we had the last surge. He knows what causes them. He knows how we stopped them. Same with Secretary Mayorkas when he was deputy secretary. He sold out this country to win the election because he needed a progressive left vote. And he kept the promise by, signing all those executive orders first few days in office. This is by design. This is open borders. And that's why they've done nothing to slow the flow. Everything they talk about, when Kamala Harris, Donald Paso, we make great strides. What did you make great strides in? Releasing people quicker. So the president gets on national TV, says less people in Border Patrol custody. That's a big improvement. And so it's less in Border Patrol custody just because you release them quicker. And that is not a success. That's just another enticement. If the people at the cartels here, okay, we're only going to detain you for a few hours and release you, that's just another enticement for more to come. And on top of all that, you got Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer out there saying, we're going to pass amnesty through reconciliation.
Yeah.
The cartels are playing that. So every time you think they may take an enforcement step, they don't. They just throw out another giveaway that's only going to bring more.
Exactly. And on that reconciliation point, I mean, they plan to spend $105 billion on this. And that's probably a low ball estimate at the end of the day as to how much money will end up going in to this kind of amnesty. And I think they do themselves and their party a disservice, because I think most people will say, if someone wants to come to this country legally, the right way, get properly vetted, We have no problem with that. It's the free-for-all at the border while, by the way, pretending that this country takes COVID seriously, just having everybody come in without even mandating that they be vaccinated.
Yeah, that's a good point, right? People believe in legal immigration. I believe in legal immigration. Yeah. But you know, when you come here legally and you get a green card, you come here and look to be a permanent resident, you know one of the things they have to do before they get permanent residents? They have to have a full medical examination and have a full series of vaccines, like the mumps, measles, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, and a different set of rules for those to enter illegally. For those to enter illegally, they're not requiring any vaccines. And that's why I'm saying this is on purpose. This whole border crisis is by design, because the White House is not denying it. They're not denying the fact that people are coming to this country illegally. They're not denying the fact they're not vaccinating them. They're not testing for COVID. And they're not denying the fact they're not required yet. This administration, I mean, they're not running from this. They just keep telling American people there's no crisis.
And, of course, the media gives them cover.
I guess on national TV says that every day.
Yeah, and the media generally gives them cover. They never gave you guys any cover whatsoever when it came to actually enforcing the law at the border. You were all mistreated. You specifically, Tom, were called out multiple times by Democrats. And now we've got the opposite, which is instead of enforcement, we're just opening up our borders. And no one is saying anything. If you could, we have about a minute left. Just give me sort of that big picture implication.
Where's AOC?
Yeah.
During my time, she was down there hanging on to a chain link fence in an empty parking lot, claiming she was at a facility. Meanwhile, children are dying. Right now, 18 to 20% of those coming across the line have active COVID. Children are 1 in 3 children. They've released 112,000 children. They've lost track of 35,000 children. Now, they attacked us with 2,500 family separation because we were prosecuting people, but you don't see the media talk about, well, where's these 30,000 children you lost track of? You know, this administration is much more inhumane than anything I've seen in my 35 years. People are dying. 31% of women are getting raped. COVID is coming to this country. And with half the border patrol no longer on the line, how many people are going to try to come to this country do us harm?
Yeah.
We've already arrested 11 people on terrorist watch list. How many didn't we arrest within that 350,000 gotaways?
And by the way, just real quickly, where do you think the disconnect is between Democrats, and I'm not saying the Democratic Party, but just Democrats who were outraged at mistreatment at the border, but all of a sudden are silent? Where do you think that disconnect is?
I don't think it's a disconnect. Again, and this is by design. People like Ocasio-Cortez want to open border. And look, this is about...
But you think the voters want that? Trump.
No. But the politicians, the Democratic politicians do, because they also overturned the Trump census rule, right? They know millions of people are going from this country. They'll be counted the next census. Even though they're not a U.S. citizen, they'll be counted the next census, which means more seats in the House for the Democrats, which leads to an electoral college, which leads to perpetual power. And plus, with amnesty, they know a lot of these people become, these are future Democratic voters in their eyes. So again, they're selling out our national security and our sovereignty for perpetual power. That's the only obvious reason this could be happening.
It is alarming. It's disturbing. It's transparent. And too few people are actually calling it out. Tom Homan, however, does call it out. He is the former acting ICE director under President Trump. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show, 1-800-465-877, if you want to send me a text.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is The Big Local on The Jason Rantz Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon, and that means it's time for The Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories that come out of the city of Seattle, because let's be honest, the media already hyper-focused on Seattle. And instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. Now, obviously, yesterday, the big news story, and it will continue to be the news story until, October 25th, when the vaccine passport system goes into effect, all throughout King County, going to the non-essential businesses. We're talking about restaurants and bars, indoor and outdoor recreational facilities, and Also, gyms. You will have to either show your vaccine passport that you are fully vaccinated or show a negative PCR test within 2 days of entry into wherever it is you're going. That obviously is going to be very expensive for people who do that, who want to either forgo the vaccine or just don't want to participate in showing your papers to some punk kid at your local restaurant. Sorry, not going to do that. One business owner, and they call it a gym. Is this really a gym? It's called Sumner Ninja.
Yeah,
and it's in Auburn, by the way, which, again, I'm not... I get they're close to each other, but why not call Auburn Ninja? Or was that already taken from some other gym?
No, I have no clue. And I really... I'm going to look up where this is at, because there's no reason that you should be getting these two cities confused.
It's Sumner
Ninja owner.
In Auburn. I don't understand that. But... the guy who runs it, his name is David Anderson. He spoke to King 5 about all of this, and he said he's going to do what he can to keep everything safe. Now, in fairness, this is for kids.
We wipe down everything anybody touches. So we make sure that every, and we also keep the kids in groups of two, so they're kind of separated from everybody.
What did you say?
This is not even close to Sumner. This is like north of Highway 18.
Which oh, is- yeah, that's like...
it's probably still about 4 miles ahead.
Minutes away-ish, yes. Depending on traffic.
Very much so. This, how do they call this Sumner Ninja?
Look up other ninja gyms in the area. Maybe it's like a... do they license it? They can't be a...
he is an LLC. It says so.
Yeah,
here.
But that doesn't mean anything. I can't imagine that there's a whole bunch of different ninja gyms. Anyway, I'm fascinated by that. Let's get back to the story, because he's all like, I like this mandate.
I think it's a good step forward, because it is going to like give people a bit more safety. They're going to feel a bit more comfortable walking into places.
Is it? Because you can still get COVID if you are vaccinated. And by the way, someone coming in with a 2-day-old test that said that they are clear doesn't mean that they didn't catch COVID like 20 minutes after taking that test. And so not everyone is on board with this. Star, for example, her name cannot be Star Date, but that's what it says.
Star Date.
I refuse to believe that's her name.
That's
people
what...
who use fake names like that, insufferable, and I hate them. But Star Date, I'm kidding. I love you, Star. I'm sure you're a wonderful person, mostly because I'm on your side on this one. She's got a kid who was at the Sumner Ninja in Auburn, even though it's nowhere near Sumner, who was doing whatever ninja stuff, which, by the way, I would argue is an example of cultural appropriation. She says this mandate is just another barrier.
Well, it's going to limit a lot of the things that we can go do with our families.
And it sounds like Star is all like, I ain't giving you my information, so you're not going to see my kid in this ninja place. And by the way, I didn't even want to bring him here to begin with. We thought it was in Sumner, and then we realized it was like 15 minutes away.
I don't feel like it's anybody else's business. You know, if we're taking care of ourselves the way everybody should be, then that's for us to know. I don't think it's a good step in the right direction.
And I 100% agree with that. We either are going to create an environment in which we trust one another, or we're going to create an environment in which we assume that the other person is lying. And I'm going to assume you're a liar until you prove otherwise. Is that not the place that we don't want to go? Isn't that not that place where we thought we wanted to push away from, where we wanted to bring everyone together? What about being united? Remember, there was once an idea coming from Joe Biden's mouth. We want to, I will be here for everyone. We're going to all be united. But we've created a system that says you have to prove you're not lying about your vaccination status. That is the system that they have just put in place. They have created us versus them. This is the topic, by the way, I'm talking about on primetime today on Fox News. So this is really my show prep time. That is what they're doing here. They're pitting American against American, and it's wrong. And the funny thing is, there's going to be a lot of us, myself included, who will be assumed to be either anti-vax or unvaccinated because I don't want to participate in this. I am vaccinated, and I'm not going to participate in this for as long as I can get away with it.
It's hard because it's such a good business, you know, and it would be...
well, I mean, a better business would actually be in the city it's named after, but please continue.
Bad to see people not... be able to patronize it just because, you know, they choose not to be vaccinated, they choose not to show their card. Personally, I don't know if we would be able to keep coming, which is sad because our son does love it so much.
It is sad. It is. I want to be able to support businesses. I want to be able to go to a bar a restaurant, not even a restaurant anymore. I don't like the experience because people recognize me and then they harass me. But I mean, if I did like to do that, I would want to go ahead and support these businesses. But there are going to be a lot of people out there who are just going to say, no, I'm not going to do it. Maybe not in Seattle, because Seattle is filled with people who think because they have that vaccine passport, they're somehow heroes. You're not. You did something that was responsible for you and your family. Lots of people also did that. But they don't have to brag about it. And I swear, I'm willing to bet that if you went into the deepest crevices of people's brains, as tiny as they are in the city of Seattle, which we're not supposed to talk about during this segment, you will find a deep-seated belief that the only reason they got that vaccine was so that they can say they got a vaccine and be seen as a hero.
Well, and they wanted to post the selfie, remember? It was all about the vaccine selfies at the time.
That stopped, by the way, thank God, because all the people who are just virtue signaling at work. When I got the vaccine, did I say, the only photos I took was how long the line was.
Yeah, you were at the event center and it was a long line.
And I didn't post it. I didn't even think I posted it anywhere. I think I just sent it to you and maybe I used it once in an article I wrote at ktth.com. I didn't post it and I post everything on Instagram. I do a video at least. I'm like, no, because what am I special? Because I decided to go and get the vaccine?
Ooh, look at me. I'm standing in a line.
For 3 hours. This was a 3-hour experience. You're not going to get the selfie that you think after that. Finally, two protests are planned in Olympia on tomorrow, actually. Police, city officials are saying, we think there could be potential conflicts, and so we are going to be sure to be prepared. Now, they won't actually call it over at, I think this was from Cairo, yes, Cairo 7 TV. They won't say it's Proud Boys versus Antifa. They're saying Proud Boys and counter-protesters, which is funny because the last time the counter-protesters showed up, they were dressed in black bloc. And they were there looking for a fight. So they're coming out tomorrow for a rally slash a protest. It's supposed to be against the vaccine mandates. The chief of police in Olympia, Aaron Jelchik, spoke with our sister station, Cairo Radio.
The police force is going to be out in increased numbers, and we've got a plan to address behaviors. So I would enjoy your Saturday and go about business as usual.
Yeah, until you get shot by an Antifa. Or, excuse me. A counter-protester to the white supremacist Proud Boys.
I wish that they were marketing this as Proud Boys versus Antifa, because that sounds like a boxing match.
It
sounds
like,
could get a nice pay-per-view going and get some streamers out there.
Well, this idea that this time they're prepared is silly, because why were you not prepared for the last several of these, where violence actually broke out, and we knew violence would break out, because they all said violence was going to break out. And beyond that, and, you know, people give, I think conservatives sometimes give Proud Boys a pass. I'm not giving them a pass on this stuff. They usually show up looking to defend themselves in a fight, which is a way of saying they also show up for a fight. I don't, generally speaking, although there are very clear examples of this not being the case, but generally speaking, Proud Boys show up hoping that an Antifa person will give them a reason to fight back. That's usually what happens. Antifa shows up with the intent of fighting. But if you are showing up with the intent of defending yourself against what you think is an inevitable punch being thrown your way, well, then you are also showing up for a fight. So they're both showing up for a fight. And at this point, we either let them do it, let them go at each other, or just get involved and say, no, we're not going to allow this anymore. But you're going to have to pick a lane, Olympia, because they're all over the place on this. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Thank you so much for tuning in on this rainy Friday. Don't forget, if you missed my Tucker Carlson appearance yesterday or my Fox News primetime appearance today, you can catch up at youtube.com/Jason Rantz. They keep coming to our attention these weird stories concerning school board members who are acting inappropriately. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, a few months ago, we did that story based in Bellingham where we found out that I believe she was the president of the school board there. She owned a sex shop that was like kid friendly. It was super bizarre. And I can't say that I'm shocked whenever I see some of these stories. In this case, it is kind of a mix of inappropriate behavior, maybe, or just creepy behavior, maybe, or I'm clearly joking, so get over it, maybe. Let's go through it. It comes out of Chula Vista, California, where parents are saying they want Kate Bishop, the member of the school board at the center of this controversy, to explain some old tweets of hers that went viral after a parent found them and then amplified it, saying, hey, look at these crazy tweets. And all of the tweets that were put out there, to be clear, and I don't know if it matters necessarily, to me I think it does, that they were tweeted out before she was elected to the school board. And some of the tweets, I'll be honest, I'm just totally on the fence about. The context of her being a school board member is the problem. It's not the tweets themselves, or some of the tweets themselves, I should say. Because she does acknowledge that these were tweets, and she calls them past mistakes. But she said they were jokes, that the intent in all of them were to be funny. And so as you're thinking about these tweets and you're reacting to them, take a moment to see whether or not you react slightly different or not different at all or completely different, knowing she's a school board member. And how would it come off to you if you didn't know that, if you just, you're just some random woman? She tweeted back in 2012, which, again, that's a long time ago, but she tweeted back in 2012 with the hashtag hormones, quote, I'm pretty sure I hit my sexual peak today. Somebody bring me an 18-year-old boy stat. Now, that's not that offensive. It's a it's creepy, yes, but it's very clearly a joke, right? No one thinks she's no person acting in good faith thinks that that's a serious tweet. Now, do things change as a school board member? Yes, if she wrote them as a school board member. But she didn't. She wrote them back in 2012, almost 10 years ago. So to be clear, this is one of those times where I'm like, okay, I get it. Maybe you just don't like this woman and you're looking for past sins to go after her for. And maybe you're right to dislike her. I have no idea what she's doing on the school board in Chula Vista. I don't know what decision she's making. But, you know, going back a decade ago to something that I do think is very clearly a joke and would only be even deemed an inappropriate joke or even a creepy joke as a school board member is just unfair. Now, there's some other ones that I do think are kind of just gross. She sent out another tweet. This one is back in 2011. And it said, quote, off to the park to see what hot 3-year-old girls my kid can hit on. And she hashtagged it Valentine's Day. I don't know how old the kid was at the time. Let's just assume for the sake of the argument that it was around 3 years old, right? Age appropriate. I mean, that's clearly creepy and it's sexualizing 3-year-olds. But again, I'll be that person. It's a joke. She's not being serious here. Is it inappropriate for her to send this as a school board member? Yes. Was she a school board member over a decade ago? No. And yet some parents, like Katie Davidson Brock, they're upset. She told Fox News this week, I think that someone with this type of character is unfit to serve. Okay, then you should have voted for someone else and helped the other candidate. And if you'd like, I don't know if there's any recall procedures for school board members, and I don't know what the bar is out in Chula Vista or California as a whole, what bar you would have to reach to go through with a recall, but then move forward with that. And if she's running for re-election at some point, don't support her. This is part of this is on you. It's not like she was hiding anything. Anyone could have at any point gone in and checked out her past tweets. Why did they wait until recently to do this? They could have done it when she was running for office. This just screams to me as a politically motivated complaint because they don't like the direction that she's taking the school board. And again, generally speaking, when conservatives speak out against school boards, I'm on their side. From decisions that they make, I'm on their side. I don't know what the issue is here. She didn't say that she should resign, this parent, but she does want to know some answers. She says, quote, I get that most of this stuff is just bad jokes, but I would like to hear the district address it. They're bad jokes. I would like to hear or see the district address it, but you know that they're bad jokes. So what do you need to hear from the school district? That they're bad jokes? She continues, the 18-year-old boy one is definitely disturbing because 18-year-olds can still be enrolled in school. I have a 17-year-old boy. The thought of a school board member writing that is really disturbing to me. Okay. But she didn't write it as a school board member. She wrote it as someone who was 10 years younger, by the way. This one I don't get. But again, this is a person who is very far to the left, it sounds like. Back in 2012, she tweeted, I want to hate bleep Paul Ryan while he is gagged with my absentee ballot on which I voted for Obama. So she's a crazy leftist. But that's not a reason to kick her off of a school board or ask for her to be removed. It just they go back to 2013 where she tweeted about buying a sex toy. Okay. And again, she said some nasty things in her politics I don't agree with. 2016, she wrote of Donald Trump, quote, "Dear Rust Belt, he lied. Your manufacturing jobs are never coming back," which, by the way, they did. "You bleeped us. No love, Kate." If you don't like her character as a result of tweets from a few years ago, a decade ago, or yesterday, go ahead and do what you can to make sure that you defeat her if she runs for re-election. Do what you can to make sure that the next time you've got a campaign, that you're paying a little bit closer attention. This is one of those things where, like, nope, I am not getting on board the cancel train on this one. Not for what's clearly, clearly a joke. And there's sometimes where you get stories that make total sense to be upset about. And then you go a little bit too far. Then you decide that you're going to go just a little bit too far with how you're taking it. And there's a story out of, I believe it's Hudson, Ohio. And in this story, there again, a school board apparently approved of some books for class, one of which was inappropriate. It was a course for high school students at the local high school, but it was a college level course, and it was for writing composition. And they were given a book of prompts, several hundred prompts that are supposed to get the creative juices flowing. You start to write and you get in that habit. Now, once some, I presume parents, but the mayor was calling this out of the city, once parents started to look at the prompts, they're like, oh, wait a minute. This is not appropriate for teenagers. One of them is says, what is it? Take a sip of beer and write about how it tastes, which is obviously inappropriate because if you're giving this to a high school student, they obviously can't drink it, legally at least. But then they go on to say, write a sex scene that you wouldn't want to show your mother. And then the follow-up one is rewrite that sex scene so that it would be appropriate to show your mother. Now, obviously, that's gross, ill. Don't do that, period. I don't care what your age is. But beyond calling this inappropriate and calling for the school board members to resign, which, by the way, their point was, we didn't know that it was in the book. It wasn't in front of students, this particular these particular prompts, but we did get the book pulled. Our bad, sorry. When they were supposed to do the research ahead of time, that's totally on them. And I understand why people want to call for it to be call for them to be pushed out of office or for them to resign on their own. But where it went one step too far was the mayor in this city in Ohio made a point to say, this is child pornography, and if you don't resign, you're going to be criminally charged. I checked with a judge. It's child porn. No, it's not. No, it is not. Stop making stuff up. Stop going that far. No one's going to jail for this, nor should they go to jail for this. If anything, the child pornography would actually be what the kids might write. But obviously, they're not going to be charged either. We don't have to go that far in cases. Let us be reasonable, logical, sane in our responses to some of these cultural issues that are very clearly important. But to call this out and claim that, oh, it's child pornography, you're going to go to jail. No, they're not. Push for the resignations, recall if you need to, and do a better job getting a board that is a better reflection of what you want the community to sort of look like and teach. But this, stop with this nonsense of hyperbole. Oh, it's child pornography. No, it's not. Look at the law. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. Back with more after this.